Morning, everyone. We come to God's Word this morning, and if you would like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. As Nawaz mentioned earlier, we're just a few days away from Christmas, a little more than 3 weeks, and it's good as we enter this month of December that we set our gaze and focus on the reason for the celebration. Okay, what is Christmas all about? And more importantly, who is Christmas all about? Okay, and so that's what we're going to do this morning. Because in the midst of preparations, gift giving, sweet making, visiting friends and family, we can miss out on the reason for Christmas. Okay. So would you like to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, and I'll be reading from verses 26 to 38. Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38. Sit up there. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Keep turning. To a virgin, I'll read it from my version here. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. Your word is living and active. It is eternal and powerful. Lord, I pray for your grace. I pray for your anointing upon me as I preach your word, Lord. I pray for each of us that our eyes would be open, our ears would be open, and our hearts would receive your word, and it would bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, let's go through the scriptures. In verse 26 says, in the sixth month. Okay, do you know what that sixth month refers to? Okay, it's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Okay, it's not the sixth month of the year. It's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And if you look at Luke chapter 1, right at the beginning, okay, it says that there was a man called, Zechariah. He was a priest and he served in the temple, and it was his turn to serve. Okay, there were so many priests, not enough slots to serve, that he was chosen by lot. Wasn't by lot, God ordained it. So he was serving in the temple, and can you imagine what happens? He was offering incense at the hour of prayer, verse 11, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, what's amazing about this is that the nation of Israel had drifted away from God. They were steeped in legalism, hundreds of laws, things you should do, not do. And the nation of Israel, which was at its glory days when King David ruled and when King Solomon ruled, they conquered all the nations, and there was peace and there was prosperity, had now declined completely. That there wasn't even a Jewish ruler over Israel. There was King Herod, who was not a Jew. He was an Edomite. He was a descendant of Esau. Not only was King Herod ruling, but really the Romans were controlling everything and they were ruling. So Israel was gone as a nation. Not only was it politically weak, but for 400 years they had not heard the voice of God. There was a dark period after Malachi that for the next 400 years there was no visitation of an angel, there was no prophetic word, there was no miracle, nothing. The dark ages. And then this 400 years of silence was broken one day when the angel appeared to Zechariah in the temple. Wow, what an event. And we know the story. The angel said, Zechariah, guess what? Now, Zechariah was an old man, and his wife Elizabeth was also old. They were past the time of childbearing. And when the angel meets Zechariah, he says, listen, Zechariah, don't be afraid. Have you noticed when angels meet people, what's the first thing they say? Don't be afraid. Fear not, because, you know, people are afraid when they meet angels. Wow. And he says, you know what? Your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call him John. Okay? And just to tell you that this John that was going to be born was going to be a special child. And he says, what's so special about him? He says, verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. He'll be a prophetic man like Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So this John, who is going to come, we know him as John the Baptist, was a forerunner of Jesus. He was going to prepare the way for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come. So when it says sixth month there, he's talking about, the angel is saying, the time zone is this, that Elizabeth has been pregnant for 6 months. And the angel that comes is Gabriel. He comes from the very presence of God. And he goes to this, verse 27, to a virgin engaged or betrothed to a man named Joseph. And historians tell us that Mary was probably a young girl. All right? She may have been in her early teens because they got married at a very early age. And she was engaged to Joseph. They were not yet married. They were pledged to be married, engaged, and the marriage had not yet taken place. And he said to her, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, this is the second occurrence, angelic visitation after 400 years of silence. Mary was greatly troubled and said, what sort of greeting is this? What do you mean, O favored one? In what way am I favored? What's this? What's happening? And the angel said, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Wow, that's an amazing thing. So, you know, we look at the lineage. We've been going through Matthew, and we've seen the lineage of Jesus. And we see all kinds of people there. You know, we have Abraham, who lied about his wife, saying she was his sister. We have David, who committed adultery and then committed murder. We have Judah, and we know about what he did. And we have so many others, including Bathsheba and Rahab and others. But they, like us, were all sinners saved by the grace of God. God was not looking for perfect people. He was looking for people who he could redeem. But in this case, when he meets Mary, he says, you have found favor with God. Again, the grace of God going out to Mary. And he says, listen, verse 31, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. So the first thing, this is what Christmas is all about. He says, you will have a son. Now, here's a young girl. She's not yet married. And he says, how's that going to be? You know, and what will this son? He said, the son will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him to him the throne of his father David. So the most amazing thing is that she will conceive and have a son. And then who is this son? He's not just an ordinary boy. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. We'll look at all this in a bit. Okay? And the wonder of it is this. And the angel, Mary says to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? I've not been with a man. How can I have a son? And that's the miracle of Christmas. Friends, this is it. It's the incarnation where the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Okay? So this is what Christmas is all about. What is it all about? Since the time of Adam and Eve, right in the beginning, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and Adam and Eve sinned, and sin came into the human race, and Adam and Eve were cast out, God planned a way to redeem mankind. All right? And right in Genesis chapter 3, he speaks and he says, in Genesis chapter 3, where God appears to Adam and Eve after they sin, and God speaks about redemption right over there. Verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's speaking to the serpent, to Satan. Between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Right in the beginning, God spoke of a way of salvation for mankind. Okay, that somebody is going to come, the seed of a woman, who's going to redeem people. In Genesis chapter 12, we see God chose Abraham. We've been going through this already. And he said, through Abraham, you will be blessed, your descendants will be blessed, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. What did that mean? It wasn't just through Abraham, but it will be one of the descendants of Abraham. From Abraham, God took Abraham and Sarah, and through the promised son Isaac came a family. From Isaac came Jacob, which we looked at a few weeks ago. And from Jacob came the family which became the nation of Israel. Okay, so it was the seed of the woman, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and now the nation of Israel. And the promise was the nations will be blessed through the people of Israel. But they were looking forward to the Messiah who would come. And there were many prophetic words through the ages about this Messiah, about where he would be born. Where was he going to be born? Bethlehem in Micah. It says he'll be born in Bethlehem. Whose descendant will he be? He'll be David's descendant. Okay, so for that to happen, there were many things that had to be in place. Okay? What needed to be in place? So first of all, we see here that this child that was going to be born, okay, was going to be a king. Okay? What kind of king? Look at this. He says, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Look at the way God orchestrated it. You have Mary and you have Joseph. Now, you know, both of them were descended from King David. All right? Both of them came from the line of Judah. Okay? Mary was Jesus' biological parent. The Holy Spirit came upon her, she conceived, and she got his genes. Or he got her genes, sorry. That was it. Okay? Joseph was not Jesus' biological parent. He was his legal parent, legal heir. And he also was descended from David. Amazing. So if you look at the genealogy in Matthew, it traces the lineage right from Abraham and everybody right to Joseph. And if you look at it in Luke, it's from Mary. Amazing. Now what's amazing is, you know, the Jews preserved their lineage for centuries. They knew who their fathers, forefathers, grandfathers, which tribe they came from. Remember we looked earlier about Zechariah? Okay, he was from the priestly tribe. Only the priests from the tribe of Levi could serve as priests. So they preserved their lineage. They knew exactly where they came from. And so Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, the son of Jesse. Okay? mother's side and father's side, to fulfill the prophetic words that had been spoken about hundreds of years ago. The prophecy saying that, you know, look at 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. When your days are over, this is God's, the prophet Nathan saying to David, and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. All right? So he's not just talking about Solomon, but it's talking about Jesus who's going to come. All right, let's move on. So the first thing there is that this child is going to be a king. You know, the Jews waited for 2,000 years for this Messiah to come. They preserved their lineage. But after Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70 and the Jews were scattered, all their lineage records were gone. Today, no Jew knows which tribe he's coming from. So even if today somebody comes up and says, I'm the Messiah, he cannot prove it that he's from David's line. Okay, so really, Jesus was this long-awaited king that was supposed to come. Okay. The next thing about Jesus is that he's not just an ordinary king. His kingdom will never end. Okay, so his coming on earth is going to usher in a kingdom that will never end. One day, Jesus is coming back again. He'll create a new heaven and a new earth where we will live without in peace, without sin, forever and ever. The second thing about Jesus is that he is the Son of the Most High. You know, in our nation, this is what sometimes happens. When you get in an argument with somebody on the road and all that, they say, do you know whose son I am? Have you seen that happening? Yeah? They say, you know who I am? You know who my father is? And that's what generally, that's what happens, where people throw those things out. Now, in Jesus' case, who was his father? Okay, we've seen that his earthly legal father was Joseph. Okay, but really, his real father is this. In verse 32, it says, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. That's another word for the Son of God. Okay? Son of God. So Jesus was not just an ordinary person. He was not the son of a king or a politician. He was the Son of God. Throughout the Old Testament, okay, we have the word El Elyon, Son of the Most High, referring to God, the sovereign God who created everything. There are many scriptures. We have no time to get into it. But Genesis 14 verse 18, Deuteronomy 32 verse 8, speaks about the Son, the Most High God who created everything. And the angel, Gabriel, is saying that Jesus will be the Son of the Most High. Now, we've got to understand here that, you know, the way Jesus became the Son was because the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. All right? It wasn't Joseph, it was the Holy Spirit who overshadowed Mary and she conceived a child. Okay? So that's what it was. So Jesus is the Son of the Most High. He is the Son of God. He's not an ordinary person that was born. He was the most perfect son. Okay? Further on it says, verse 39, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child born to you will be called Holy, the Son of God. Okay? So he's the Son of the Most High, he's the Son of God, and he will be holy. You see, every other child that has been born on earth is not holy. Isn't that so? Yeah? We are conceived in sin, we are born with sin, and all our lives, parents try to get their kids to walk on the right path. Isn't that right? Yeah. But Jesus was born without sin. He was holy from birth. He was sinless. Amazing. Okay? So that's another characteristic of Jesus. He was
holy. Jesus was able to say to people, can any of you convict me of any sin? You know, none of us would be able to do that. Okay? None of us would be able to do that. Because the moment we stood up, our wife or husband or brother or sister or father or mother would say, or children would say, yeah, we've got lots of things to say against you. Okay? But Jesus could do that. He was without any sin. He was holy. Okay? So today we look at the greatness of Jesus. His miraculous virgin birth. That's one. Whose son was he? The Son of the Most High. What kind of person was he? He was holy. He was pure, without any sin. Okay? Not only that, but he was a king. Okay? Now, we've got to see the amazing economy of God. God could have sent his son to come on a spaceship to earth, okay, dressed in robes of gold. I don't know if you know, but when the king of Saudi Arabia visits a country, okay, there are hundreds of people that go with him to prepare the way for him to go. Do you know that? When he gets off the plane and he gets anywhere, there's an escalator that is gold plated. All right? That's what happens. But when God chose to send it, God could have done that. He owns everything. Okay? But in his desire to send Jesus to earth to save us, he didn't send Jesus to be born into a royal family. He sent him to poor peasants. They were poor. They were nobodies living in Galilee, in Nazareth. God chose to send his son to be born to that kind of a family. So we see Jesus was holy. Not only was Jesus holy, we see from his name, what was his purpose on earth? Okay? His name was Jesus. In Matthew 1:21, it says, call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So the purpose that Jesus came was to save us from our sins. Okay? So God wanted to send his son. Galatians 4:4 tells us, in the fullness of time, not a second too late, not a second too early, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law. Wow. You know, it's amazing. We look at the birth of Jesus and we see that God knew the right time. Okay? He chose the right people. Okay? We look at it maybe next week, he even instructed the government to have a census at that time. Do you remember that? Yeah? Because of the census, everybody had to go to their own hometowns to be registered. Much like the Aadhaar card and the PAN card and all that. They had a census to go through. They had to go to their town. And it so happened, you know, that Mary was about to deliver. So from Nazareth, they moved to Bethlehem. And that's how Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Anyway, so the reason Jesus came, the fourth thing there was what we can glory at this morning, is that he came to save us from our sins. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 15 says this, the reason the Son of God came was to save sinners. Okay. Now, the amazing thing about Jesus is that he was fully God and fully man. Now, we can't get our heads around this, okay? You know, we just can't understand. Was he fully God or was he fully man or was he both? But here we see clearly there was a supernatural element to his being born. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. The Son of God was conceived. But at the same time, he was fully man just like you and I. We are human. So, you know, so he faced the same things we face, the temptations, the weaknesses. You know, he felt tired. He felt hungry. He slept. He did all these things. And this is another great mystery that we find in this passage, that God was fully man, and Jesus was fully man and fully God. Now, sometimes when we look at the miracles in the Bible, what do we think? Ah, Jesus did that because he was fully God. But really,
you know, we see that he emptied himself of his glory. And he operated while he was on earth as a man. That's what he did. Okay. So we look at these few things this morning. And as we celebrate Christmas together, you know, let's think about what Jesus did. The reason he came was to save us from our sins. That's what he came for. Okay? He came, first of all, he was born of a virgin as a child. Okay? He was fully God. He was fully man. He was sinless. He was born to be the king because he was a son of David, son of Mary, son of Joseph, and he was born to be the Savior. Okay? Now, these are a few things about Jesus. But we've got to not lose sight of the purpose that he came. And the purpose was to save sinners. How can we apply this message to our lives this morning? Okay. I've got three things to pull out to you. The first one is verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. You know, when first Mary heard the promise, you're going to conceive by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a little difficult to believe. You know, but the angel said to her, nothing is impossible with God. I want to ask you this morning, what do you find that is impossible for God to do in your life this Christmas? All right? Maybe you're saying, I need this situation changed. I need that situation changed. I want to encourage you to say this to yourself. Nothing will be impossible with God. Amen? Nothing. Are you looking out for somebody's salvation? Are you looking out for a marriage, for a job, for something to change in our nation? Yeah? We need to hold on to this verse. Nothing will be impossible with God. Can we say it together? Nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. Okay? This Christmas, as we think about Jesus, miraculously born, fully God, fully man, okay? As we go about our lives, let this thought ring in our minds. Nothing is impossible with God. Okay? The second thing we get from this is this. What was Mary's response? Okay? What did Mary do? She says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And what Mary did is she just submitted herself completely to the will of God. That's what she did. Okay? Can you imagine? You know, today we are reading it 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine Mary's plight? She's a 15-year-old girl engaged to somebody and she's pregnant. Okay? Imagine if it happened to anybody today. You know, we'd be so ashamed. Oh, no. How do you explain to people? Actually, you know, an angel came to me and said this. Yes, yes, long, you know. So can you imagine that she, you know, we don't realize. We think, wow, great. But she had to go through that shame of being considered an unwed mother. That's what she had to go through. It was humiliation that she went through. Okay? We don't realize that, but that's what happened. You know? But God's grace was upon her, and she was able to accept that role, wonderful role, and accept the humiliation that came with it. All right? So it says there, I am your servant, let it be done to me according to your word. So the second thing is, are we open? Are we willing to embrace the will of God in our lives? You know, a few weeks ago in America, a man broke into a church and killed lots of people. I forget how many people were killed. Lots of people were shot down. All right. There was one 86-year-old man who survived. Okay, he was 86, and six of his family members were killed. Can you imagine? What would he have to say? And this is what he said. He said, I know that they are in heaven, and I will join them one day. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, that's the hope that we have. You know, that when we submit ourselves to the will of God. Last week, you know, somebody we know, a 19-year-old boy, fell off a train in Mumbai and died. Wonderful Christian family, Christian leaders, and you know, you say, Lord, why did that happen? And just for us to realize, to say, Lord, I'm submitting myself to your will. Yeah? Whatever you want me to do, yeah, help, you give me the grace for it, I will do that. And so that was Mary's wonderful attitude, okay? That I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Okay? And so let us be people this Christmas who say, Lord, what's your will, Lord? Okay? And really, the key here is the word. She heard the word of God. You know, are we hearing the voice of God today? No, we can get into a kind of Sunday Christianity where we come each Sunday, we have the worship, we have the word, we just go through the routine, and then nothing happens for the next, you know, so many hours till next Sunday. But really, we've got to see the great plan of God. Jesus broke in into creation to save sinners. And you and I have a role to play in that. And the third thing we see is this. You see, it was, but verse 30, and the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. Okay, in this situation, Mary must have been an upright person. Okay, where God found favor with her. You know, not perfect, not sinless, but God found favor with her. Now, we know that we are accepted because of the righteousness of Christ. All right? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who had no sin became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's great. And that's our standing. But there's another thing where it says in Hebrews, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And there is something we have to do on our part. We have to strive for practical holiness. Last week, I was hearing a message that really convicted me. You know, over at the prayer meetings and everywhere else, we've been speaking about John 15, the vine and the branches. And I'm listening to this message where the person says, if we really believe that apart from him we can do nothing, that we are called to abide in the vine, if we really believe that, he says, then we would be soaking ourselves with the word of God, and we'd be on our feet, on our knees for an hour every day, praying and remaining in Jesus. And that just struck my heart. I said, hey, you know, am I saturating myself with the word? And am I on my knees for an hour a day praying? And the answer was no. And I repented. And I said, Lord, I want to find favor with you. All right? So can I leave these three things with us as we come to the celebration of Christmas? Remember, it's about Jesus' supernatural birth, his incarnation, born of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit, born to be a king to fulfill the promises of the Old Testament. He was holy without sin, okay? And he was the sovereign ruler of the universe. What do we take from it? Nothing is impossible with God. Lord, be done to me according to your word. And Lord, I want to find favor with you. Whatever I do today, this week, Lord, is it something that is pleasing to God? Let's pray this morning. Come. Lord, in the midst of all the preparation for Christmas, Lord, we want to remember that you came on this earth in the form of a baby. Lord, you were born to unknown people. You were born of a virgin. We don't want to forget that. It was a supernatural birth. Lord, although you had a humble birth, Lord, you were a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, you are holy and sinless, Lord. Oh, Lord, you are the King who will reign forever and ever.
Lord, in the midst of this Christmas celebration, help us to hold on to your word that nothing is impossible with you. Nothing. Lord, help us to accept your will in our lives, Lord, to submit to what you want us to do. And Lord, every word, every thought, every deed that we do, may we ask ourselves, would God say that this is something that he finds favor with, Lord? Would you do that, Lord? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Can we just stand together this morning? We want to just sing one song to worship this Jesus that we see here in Christmas.